Welcome to another All Business Podcast. This is Ted Schubel. Thank you for bringing us up on your phone or your computer or wherever you are listening. We talk with area business owners here, the people that make the region work. When we come back, we're all business.
The All Business Podcast is supported by Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com. Most folks who work here love living here, and that makes a difference. At Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com, they're proud to work the hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com makes it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. And if you're looking for a good local job, search jobs and apply online right now. Get the advantage of finding a job close to home at Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
We are at Shannon Airport at the Shannon Air Museum. Luke Curtis here. This is a terrific place, Luke.
Oh, this is a great place, Ted. It's a neat part of history. And the neat thing is there's some national history that came out of it, but it's from the area. So it's very neat that it's from our area. Yeah.
For a long time, I mean, you've really kind of restarted this.
Well, Mr. Shannon Jr., Sid Shannon Jr., had purchased these aircraft back in the 60s and the 70s. I think actually mainly 60s and 70s. He brought them to the airport, and at one time it was the one of the rarest antique collections in the world. It still is, but it was considered the rarest small collection of antique aircraft in one location in the world. And representations of World War I aircraft all the way through the Golden Age is what it is. And also aircraft that in Virginia helped found Eastern Airlines, which is one of the four major airlines in the world at the time.
How did he get all of this?
Well, he purchased it. His dad and Eddie Rickenbacker. Eddie Rickenbacker founded Eastern Airlines with Sid Shannon Sr. It was in Richmond. It was called Pitcairn Aviation. Pitcairn became, they carried the mail back in the 20s and 30s. In fact, the Pitcairn aircraft right here, over to our right here, was a mail carrier that carried the mail. And Shannon Sr. was Sid's father, so a lot of people in the area know Sid Shannon Jr.
Right.
He started the Sheraton and everything else, but actually his father, that's his father's mail-carrying outfit right there, he was one of the founders of Eastern Airlines with Eddie Rickenbacker. So a lot of history.
A lot of history, and the name Shannon with some big names in aviation history.
Yes, yes. You've got artifacts here from Sid Sr. And Eastern Airlines with Eddie Rickenbacker, and then going on with the mail and Dick Merrill, who was part of this museum, who was the curator of the museum. Dick was the first transatlantic pilot that flew across the Atlantic with a passenger. So Lindbergh flew across by himself. In fact, the plane behind you was one of the three models that Lindbergh was supposed to fly. And that's a good story we tell here at the museum. Anyway, Dick flew a plane just like the one here.
Yeah.
This is the last Vol-T in the world. Dick flew a Vol-T, which there's a picture of it, over the Atlantic in 1936. With a passenger and back. It was a round trip, and it's in history, it's in aviation history. It's the first transatlantic flight with a passenger. And so it was a round trip. So Dick was Eastern Airlines' first commercial pilot, and he was also Sid Shannon Jr.'s curator of the original museum here that was in the 70s and closed in 82 when Sid Shannon passed away.
A lot of the exhibits here, they all went to Richmond, didn't they?
They were all in Richmond. When Sid Shannon passed away, I think it was the end of 1981, when he passed away, there was a society here called the VAHS. Well, they're in Virginia. They weren't here. The Virginia Aeronautical Historical Society. They were in Richmond, and a lot of them were a part of the museum. The Shannon family in 1986 donated the aircraft to that society, so they were moved to Richmond. During that time, the state of Virginia took the collection over, with the VAHS. And up until 2015, basically that's how it was run. We got involved with the airport and wanted to get the collection back. We thought we'd get a couple aircraft back, but there was a little bit of issues going on in Richmond with the building and what the airport wanted to do with the building. And the Science Museum already had a museum in downtown Richmond. They didn't want two museums. So they donated them back to a nonprofit that we have, which is called the Shannon Air Museum. So these aircraft are now back home on top of 8 extra aircraft that we didn't have that aren't on display yet. And this is the first of 3 buildings. We want to add 2 more buildings. So this is the first of 3 buildings. Ted, we want to become an aviation theme park in the region. That's really what we want to do. In a good sense, to get kids into aviation. So we want to have theaters here, simulation here, all types of things. That's what we're trying to build.
And sitting right here, right next to Shannon Airport itself, it's great you and I talking and hearing aircraft or helicopters or things in the background.
Yes, moving around, yes. We have a lot of activity at the airport. The airport and the museum are separate. The museum is a nonprofit. It's separate, but it's LLC. But obviously, it's being based on the Shannon Airport, which really a lot of the history came from the airport anyway. It's kind of neat because people fly in, they drive in. We have a lot of activity. We have people that have come from Washington State recently. Schools have come. It's exciting for the area. I know Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania have embraced it very heavily as one of the the top 12 reasons to come to Fredericksburg. I was surprised myself. This was the third. So, but as you look, it's pretty neat.
I was going to say, and I just the other day, someone was telling me about going up to Dulles and wanting to see what's up there. And I mean, if you want to see some big stuff, there is. But I mentioned to them, you ought to go over and look at the Shannon Air Museum because this really is a treasure.
It's a treasure. It's a treasure. We have a World War I SPAD. It's a SPAD 7. 1 of 8 in the world. 3 in the country here. The others are in Europe. Okay. We have a standard E-1 here, which is a World War. These are both World War I aircraft, both in the war, not replicas, but they were in the war. That standard E-1 is 1 of 2 in the world. The other one's in Florida. The Travel Air 2000, the Pitcairn, the Vultee is the only one in the world that left. We have the Bucher and the Blanca, the Curtis Robin. A C-1 Araka, which is a C-2, but it's a C-1, which the Araka aircraft is still around, but that's the only Araka engine running in the world. That one actually runs. And we've got others. We've got an American Airlines Stenson that's here, and we've got 3 that are actually flying again. You know, Mr. Shannon had a flying museum. He really believed that the aircraft are much better off if they're flying and they're running. So these all can fly again, but 3 of them are actually been redone. The engines have been reworked, and they are flying again. 2 of them are flying. 1 of them's ready to fly.
Well, that's interesting. That gives you a whole new perspective that these aren't just museum pieces. No. This is the real deal.
The real deal. It's the real deal. I mean, when you sit across from an aircraft that's 102 years old, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you think of cars have gotten to that point now. You got 100-year-old cars, but an aircraft now, I mean, we just had the centennial of aviation, and that aircraft over there was only 8 years after the centennial that was built. So,
in a way, I'm sure you feel like, I mean, it's a great responsibility to be a caretaker of all this.
Very, it's important to us. I mean, there's not, this isn't done because there's money in museums. It's done because of the love of the aircraft that were here to present them to the public as a great opportunity. This is a rare collection for the state as well as the region.
Yeah.
And it's to be a steward of it and to take care of them. They're some of them are fragile. We preserve them with the air wing. We have a group called the Shannon Air Wing. Those are the guys that move them. We all move them ourselves from Richmond and totally clean that museum out.
Yeah.
But not only aircraft in here, we have Admiral Byrd's, one of the men on his expedition, Kessler, Mr. Kessler. The Parka and the sled were on the first Antarctic expedition from Admiral Byrd. and we have the sled and the parka and the sun compass, and from 1928. We have the charts that Dick Merrill used to fly across the ocean, and the VHS now, the Virginia Aviation Historical Society, which puts on the Virginia Hall of Fame. So the Virginia Aviation Hall of Fame is based here at the airport. That's the Hall of Fame on the wall over there.
I was asking about those pictures.
Yeah. So the VHS is actually based on the field in the pilot house. We call it the Shannon Campus. That's what we call it.
This, I don't think a lot of people realize what's happening here and what's going to be happening here, as you described it.
Yeah, they don't. We have not advertised heavily yet because obviously as you, Ted, you've known me for a while, you know, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
So I'm a believer in you got to build something first. And we've got a lot more to do. So we haven't advertised it heavily. It's open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 4. Usually the tours are on the hour. It's about a 45-minute tour with a docent who knows about the planes. It's basically the price is very it's very cheap. There's a it's $9 for an adult, five for a child under three is free. It was $17 in Richmond, and actually the way we have it set it up is there's more to see here, but. You know, there's not money to be made in that. That just kind of helps take care of the needs, some of the short-term needs. But we raise money from nonprofit to take care of it. People have donated money, funds, businesses have started to donate funds to take care of the collection and to build it to the next step.
Well, I know. I remember the first time I went to the Smithsonian and saw the Lindbergh plane hanging there and just how that. But this is you get the same feeling when you walk in here and you look at these planes because this is really history, Luke.
There is history in here that's amazing. The Vaultee behind you that Dick Merrill flew. So he flew the Vaultee that was flown across the ocean was destroyed in the Spanish Civil War in the 1940s. We have the plate that came off the original plane. It's in that chest over there. But this Vaultee, the last one in the world, was owned by William Randolph Hearst. And he flew his Hollywood movie star girlfriend to the Hearst Castle from Hollywood. And we know for a fact that Clark Gable was in this one. Charlie Chaplin was in this one. We have evidences that Greta Garbo was in this one. Many of the Hollywood elites that flew to William Hearst Castle were in this plane. So it was put back together in the 70s in Pueblo, Colorado, and Mr. Shannon bought it in the late, early 70s and flew it here. And Don Cirio, who's our museum curator, who I was going to have here today, he couldn't be here, he actually flew it in with Dick Merrill. Dick and him flew it in, and it landed here, and it used to fly during air shows until it went to Richmond.
Boy, the stories that plane could tell.
Amazing.
Well, the stories that any of these planes can tell, and that's what's exciting, and it's here.
That's the State of Virginia time capsule of aviation. That was put in, the Virginia Aviation 50-year time capsule is to be open in 2050. So that's kind of amazing because that's part of the state. But you can kind of see the embracing of the state aviation community in this museum, but also the implications of national touch. It's amazing.
Yeah. Luke Curtis here. It is the Shannon Air Museum on All Business this week. Do you do much flying yourself? Are you able to do much flying?
I do. I fly a lot. I probably fly once or twice a week. And so actually, I haven't flown in 3 weeks. So I say that, and I haven't flown. I'm itching to fly, but I do. I flew for our business. We had a manufacturing business in the area, and I flew for it. And So we fly a Cirrus SR-22, and that's fun. And it's been a great privilege to fly, and it really helped our business. General aviation is great because it can get you to places very quickly that would take you a lot of time of travel to the airport, sitting in the airport, getting on an airline, traveling around. So general aviation is great for business and travel.
Well, and especially in this area,
yes.
Because with traffic, I mean, you're a good example of, you know, you would be sitting in a lot of traffic.
Well, we got something neat coming. You're the first one to hear this. So we have a charter service that's going to start operating out of the airport probably the first of the year. and the charter service is going to fly a Pilatus PC-12, which is a 10-passenger turboprop aircraft, pressurized, can get from here to Florida in about 2.5 hours. Very nice aircraft, and so we're going to be announcing that in the real near future. That's going to be coming for people that want to, you know, people wonder, what does it cost? Well, you know, it probably costs as much as a first-class ticket, but you're not going to Dulles, you're not driving, you're not wasting 8 hours. So if there's business to be had, or, you know, it's worth it.
Boy, what a great thing for this for this area. Like you say, you can knock a lot of time off and not have to deal with that.
Yes. Better than driving pickup trucks into dumpsters.
Oh. Who would do that?
Oh, no.
Luke Curtis, the Shannon Air Museum is where we're at. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, this is a piece of the Smithsonian right in our backyard.
It is. And actually, the Smithsonian actually recognizes this museum as a very rare aircraft museum. They, we have some of our docents are from the Dulles Smithsonian up at Dulles International.
Yeah.
They're here and they love to be here. They're volunteers. So it is definitely rare and Smithsonian class for sure. But even better, you get a very personal touch here. Sometimes there is just so much you don't get the personal touch, but you get a lot of personal touch here with our docents.
Well, and you just think, you're over here on Tidewater Trail, and you drive by and you see Shannon Airport, and you think, oh, that's a nice, quaint airport, and not even know that this is here.
Yes, and we plan on, as we get the second building finished up, right now we're working on the old blue hangars that were here in 1950, and that's going to be where we move the Hall of Fame and other artifacts, and it will be set up like a hall. So that's being worked on right now. That's where the dumpster story comes in.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were working on that, and we're gonna turn that into a part of the museum. So we're gonna add our second building. There'll be simulation in that, the Hall of Fame in that. Some of the flying aircraft will be parked in that, and so pretty neat.
Well, and when you talk about when you have guests, you've got family members coming in, or you know, just or you need something to do with take some place to take the kids.
Oh, that's great.
This ought to be top of your list.
Yeah, because we have the cafe here and the store. As you know, you can get a Cuban sandwich here and with a milkshake, a little store with artifacts and models in it, and it's neat. It's a neat opportunity to in this community and. So it's great for the community.
We did an all business podcast in the spring with over at the Robin's Nest. And great, yeah, Cuban sandwich, you told me, only authentic one
in the region, you know.
So great things happening here. It keeps you busy, and I'm sure awake at night too.
It's busy and awake at night and thinking about what's next, you know. So we're excited about it though.
I guess there's no timetable at this point of as you're expanding the museum as you're able.
Well, we're hoping the time frame would be probably to have the hall next to us open within the next, I'd say, 9 months to a year, and have things moved into that. And then the third building, there's a couple different options with the third building, which will be a bigger building, which will actually have room for banquets and. Hopefully a full kitchen in it, a full commercial kitchen to do, you know, 350 venue banquets and meetings, but it'll be part of the museum. So it'll be, there'll be planes hanging over you and around you while you have your venue. And then we have the annual air show. It's turning into an annual air show coming up, and that's been great as well.
The air show is what, the 27th?
27th, but on the 25th and 26th, part of the event will be taking place with the Tuskegee Airmen and the C-54. A lot of school kids are coming those days on Thursday and Friday to see those. And so that's on the 25th and 26th. The 27th is the Harvest Festival itself. And that's when people will come in, and there's all types of vendors and food vendors, and there's the air show. And there's no charge on the 25th and 26th. There's a charge on the 12th, on the 27th.
And if anyone needs to find out more information,
go to our Facebook, Shannon Airport Facebook page, and look at that. It's also on the Shannon Air Museum page. So we also have a flight school here, which is new. It's JLS at the Shannon School of Aeronautics. Mr. Shannon had a flight school here called the Shannon School of Aeronautics, and it's a Liberty University affiliate, and we have great instructors, great aircraft, and that's really growing as well. So you can learn about aviation and actually learn how to fly here.
Well, besides coming to see the museum, air shows are great for our great family events.
Great family events. You know, Shannon had air shows here back when he had it up until 81. And 81 was the last Father's Day air show here until last year was the first air show in 36 years. So this will be the second air show we're having. A little bit bigger air show this year. We're going to have a few military aircraft and some of the Stearman and the Stensons, but it'll be a neat air show.
Lots of great stuff here. I'll stay in touch because I want to go back over and do another podcast with you guys over at the Robin's Nest again one of these days.
That'll be great.
Again, it's the Shannon Air Museum Facebook page is the best way to follow things.
Facebook page. You can go to www.shannonezf, Echo Zulu Foxtrot, as they say in aviation. ShannonEZF.com. That is our website. But the Facebook site, we're always doing posts in the Facebook site, Shannon Air Museum, and the Shannon Airport site as well.
Luke Curtis, it has been an honor to be here. I can't wait to keep seeing this continue to grow and to come back and do future shows.
Glad to be with you, Ted. We'll look forward to that.
If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please link, comment, and subscribe. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. You can also find us on Channel B online at b1015.com, keyword podcasts. If you'd like to talk about your business, I want to hear from you. Ted at WFVARadio.com, the best way to get in touch with me. Ted at WFVARadio.com. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Until next time, when again, we are all business.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed by the host and guests on this podcast are their own and not necessarily those of Centennial Broadcasting.